coming out in this cold weather. Listen, I want to tell you, I'm so excited about what God is doing and how God does what He does. And we're getting some really wonderful reports back from people that have gotten negative reports from the doctor, and they're coming back that it's not what they thought, or they're completely healed, or the thing that was there isn't there anymore. Listen, that's all praise to God. Amen? He's good. All the time. Here, chapter 3. Please. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, thank you. Yes, all our note takers will appreciate that. Tonight we're going to be on 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. I'm so grateful, Michael. Keep me straight. I entitled this, "It's Time, But I Don't Know the Time." Because so many things are already happening according to the Word, so we know that the time is growing near, but we're not going to know what time it is. So tonight, while we're on that, I'm going to have Shannon help me out tonight, and just she's going to stand up and read some for me a little bit. But I want to ask you first, have you ever waited on somebody, and you knew their character, and you knew that if they weren't there, there was going to be a really good reason? You ever had to do that before? Yeah? Well, Steve, hi, beauty. That's for Sylvia, she knows. Hi, John, you're handsome. I'll give it to you. The other couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, Steve and Jake were supposed to leave to go to the airport at 5 in the morning, and I'm driving them. So Jake said, I'll be there between 4:45 and 5 in the morning. So I'm like, hey, no problem. So I got up, I'm ready and everything, and it's 4:45, and we're waiting, and it's 4:50, and we're waiting. And at 4:55, Steve said, something's not right. I said, well, honey, it's not 5 yet. I bet any minute he's going to pull around that corner. No, 5 o'clock. So he texted him. Nothing. He said, oh, if he's not answering a text. Well, you know, if you've ever had something like that happen and then it's bad news, well, then, you know, you. Neither one of us. I said, honey. He said, Gay, he is still asleep. I said, well, call him. So he called and there was no answer. He's like, oh my. I said, honey, we're just not going to worry about this. You know, worst thing that happens is he misses the flight and he'll take another one, you know. Well, okay. So we got in the car and we're just about to leave down the driveway and he calls. I was dead asleep. I'll take my truck. Well, you know, so we're like, okay. And Steve's like, hey, if you don't make it, don't drive fast, you know, whatever. Steve, don't drive fast. So, yeah. So, sure enough, turns out Jake made it. But there's something when we know a person's character and we know who they are that we know, hey, something's not right. Peter found this. He's already telling the church, hey, you guys reconnect. Stay connected. Then he comes in the second letter, and he's saying to them and Peter, hey, I just want to remind you of some things. Nothing wrong with reminding. We'll get there in a minute. But he comes in because he knows that there's going to be some false teaching that's going on. And Shannon's going to stand, and she's going to read verses 1 and 2.
Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles.
Okay. So he's saying, I want to remind you that there's some false teaching that's coming. He was aware that false teaching was coming. Why? Because whenever the shepherd leaves, and remember we've talked that he was called to be a fisherman, but God said, you're not what the world says you are. I'm going to make you a shepherd. And he knew that as a shepherd, he's leaving. He knows he's going to go. So he's trying to get the word out to him, because when a shepherd's gone, what happens to the sheep? They scatter, and that makes them more open to prey. So he, not P-R-A-Y, P-R-E-Y, let's be clear, Southern talking here. But he knew So he's letting them know in advance. There's a false teaching that's coming, and the false teaching is going to be, hey, there's really not a second coming of Jesus. And the second part of this is, not only if Jesus does come back, there's not going to be any such thing as a rapture. That's not going to happen, okay? So he's coming in and he's letting them know. Stay connected. Now, let me ask you, Michael, how many times did you ever have to say before Billy got ready to leave the house, did you have to say, son, do you have everything you need? Did you ever have to say that? How many times would you guess? Yeah. That's because he's not 40 yet. He still knows, you know, everything. And, you know, then he'll come back and be like, oh, let's implement that. Tabitha, how many times did you have to tell Bill. He told me it's okay. Did you have to tell him to brush his teeth? How many times would you guess? How many? Okay. All right. Itza, how many times have you had to say to Gallie, did you do your homework?
Every day.
Yeah. So, what grade of school is she in? And so, multiply that out. Now, let me ask all of you, have you ever had to repeat something to somebody so many times that you got tired of hearing it? Right. But why did you do it? Is it because you like control? Why did you say to her, is your homework done? Responsibility. You want them to be responsible, right? And maybe it's because you weren't, or maybe it's because you're wanting a better life for them, or maybe it's because you just see that they're not paying attention. But you have good motivation when you keep after someone, right? Well, I want you to know, I'm going to be a good teacher, because I'm going to keep after you with the Word of God until we get it. Because you can't hear it enough times, I love you. Want you to be responsible. We can't hear it enough times, we're going to keep going through this book, because that word is going to come back to you in a situation without you having to go and look it up, and you're just going to know. I want to tell you, we have to remind and continue to remind and continue to help people remember, because we want them to grow, we want them to be mature, because we're looking out for the best. We want people to be productive. And I want you to know that growth and maturity come not just when we have wisdom, but when we implement wisdom, and that's when we understand it. Steve's told me so many times that his dad, he would try to watch his dad working on cars and doing stuff, and he'd be like, Dad, can I help? No, just let me do this. Dad, what's that? I don't have time for this. Just let me, well, you know. Poor Steve, when we got married, I think I knew more about cars than he did, because my dad was like, girl, get over here. I'm going to teach you how to change a tire. You're never going to have to be out on the street. Girl, get over here. I'm going to show you clean these battery cables. Girl, get over here. You know, I can still hear him saying stuff like that. But listen, wisdom is not just that you read a book and know how to change a flat tire. My dad made me do it. I read it. And then he said, now we're going to get out here and do it. And wisdom comes, growth and maturity come when you take what you know, the word, you've just read it, you've heard it, but you have to implement it and apply it. That's when growth comes. And all growth is going to have outward evidence. All growth is going to have an outward evidence. Pretty soon, you know, there was a time when, you know, don't freak out. There's a time when you're not going to have to tell your kids what to do. They're going to catch on. Now, generally, you know, let's just say Deja doesn't have to be told anymore when to brush her teeth, right? Oh, she's had a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Deja. She didn't have to be told anymore. Why? Because she understands the importance now, okay? Deja's making her own money now, so she's like, I'm not going to be spending that money on my mouth. I'm going to keep these pearly whites brushed up. So learning has to be repetitious. And it's not that I need to impress you with what I know about the Word. What is important to me as a teacher is that the Word is impressed on your heart, and it's going to come back to you. So we need to forget the things, you know, that we should remember, and remember the things we should forget, right? We need to forget the things. This is what we do. We forget the things we should remember, and we remember the things we should forget. Here's a little clue. How hard is it sometimes, and I am just going to raise my hand with you, how hard is it sometimes to memorize a scripture? Like you're trying, and you just keep saying it. It's like, oh, I'm just not getting this. I'm not getting it. But you can still remember a dirty little limerick from when you were in the sixth grade that somebody told you, right? Okay, so sometimes we forget the things we should remember, and we remember the things we should forget. So that's why now he's coming in and he's saying to us, hey, I'm just going to tell you this one more time. I just want to be sure that you know this. Listen, anybody in here, you don't want somebody to tell you that they love you? Mark y'all down because I'm coming after you. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want to know that they're loved, right? So I'm so grateful that the last words Lee and I ever said to each other were, I love you. What a comfort. My dad, last dad, I love you. And that brain surgeon who had done all that work on my dad, you know, after he fell and his brain was, well, it was horrible. And they'd done this thing where they'd opened up, it was horrible. And he said, he's not going to know you. I said, my dad will know me. And I said, Dad, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand. And he squeezed my hand. The surgeon said, I'm sorry, that's just a response. I said, that is not true. And I pulled the cover back over his feet. I said, Dad, if you can hear me, move your right foot. He said, that is not. Now, Dad, move your left foot. He says you can't do it, Dad. Show him. Right? So I knew my dad heard me. I knew that my dad knew that I loved him. The last words before I left my mom were, Mom, I love you. I'll be back tomorrow, because I was driving back and forth 9 hours each way, but man, I was doing it. Mom, I won't be back till tomorrow, but I'll be back. I love you. Love you. Yeah. It was so important. And I want to tell you, you know somebody loves you if they're going to keep after you about something. You watch all these kids today that nobody's encouraging them. Nobody cares. They run the streets. Nobody cares. Guys, that's why they're so in trouble, because they're looking for love and affirmation. And sometimes affirmation comes in the way of a correction. But we forget the things we should remember, and we remember the things we should forget. You remember what you didn't get for Christmas? But you forget the sacrifice that your parents had to make to give you what you did get. With me? So he comes in here. I'm saying that to you because I want you to remember. Sometimes, you know, it's so easy. You know, oh, this is important. I won't forget. And you go back to that website and you've already forgotten your password. Why do you think one of the first things under that is forget your password? ? Right? Yeah. And they'll tell you, don't keep using the same password, because if somebody's going to break that one, they can get into all your stuff. So you're like, oh, I'm going to try to mix it. Oh, let's see, did I put one exclamation point or two on them? Did I capitalize that one, or was the a letter here or not? Steve is hilarious because he knows all mine are either going to have God or Jesus in it. So he's like, Gay, which one is it, God or Jesus? You know. So he had to do a password for me yesterday, so he put God in there. I was like, honey, thank you for that, because, you know. But I won't forget that, okay? So then you come in here, and sometimes some of you are going, well, I can tell you right now, my spouse didn't remember my anniversary, and you're fuming. I want to tell you something. You can start reminding people in advance when it's your birthday, when there's an anniversary. You can start reminding them. You can say, hey, guess what? It's 1 month today for my birthday, and I tell you what I want. I want one day where nobody talks to me. You know what I'm saying? You can start reminding. And here's the thing. Well, if it really means something to them, this is a side note on this message. If it really means, if I'm really important to them, they'll remember it. Don't set people up for failure because we're not all the same way. If your birthday is important to you, put it on the calendar. Say, give me your cell phone and put it in there and put an alert on it, right? Don't set people up for failure. So Peter's coming in. He's saying, I'm not going to set you up for failure. There's some wolves coming. And I want you to remember, I want you to remember that I'm telling you right now, because as she read, he said, this has already been recorded in the Old Testament. What we would say, he's talking about from the apostles, from the prophets. These things have already come about. Isaiah, that's already been fulfilled. He's come. So don't be fooled by people. Stay true to the word. Think about the prophets and the apostles, because they're going to back each other up. What the disciples were saying in the New Testament, you're going to see the same thing was in the Old Testament. All right, would you read verse 3 and 4?
First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.
Okay, thank you. So here's the thing. Now we're living in the day and age where this is already happening. The mockers and the scoffers are coming along and they're saying, oh, really? You believe all that bunch of hooey? You believe all that? Oh, you're just weak. If you need that religious stuff, you're weak. Well, I want to tell you something. I am not a religious person, okay? I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I love the Lord and I love you, and I believe that there are times I could go back and testify to you the times where there was something in my life and someone here spoke a word over me, okay? So I'm coming to church because I love the Lord. Guys, I don't cuss people out just because it's not in me to let people have it. I don't cuss people out, number one, because I believe God's given me a brain and I can use educated words and I don't have to do that. And number two, I don't do it because I know that I'm representing Jesus Christ. And I don't want people to see that I haven't changed if there's no change in my life. This is an expectancy on me. This is a love for Him. Listen, when my kids were little, I did things I did not want to do because I wanted to set a good example for them. Can I get an amen? Right? And there are things that I do for the Lord, not because I want to do those things, but my prayer is, God, help my heart to begin to be your heart so that I enjoy the things that you want me to do and that they fulfill me. Man, there's such a difference in that, you guys. But what's going to happen is people go, oh, you're religious. I'm not religious. I'm in love. You ever somebody say, oh, you need to show that man up. You don't need to serve. You just have spoiled him. Listen, when Steve and I first got married, that's all I ever heard. She spoils you. She spoils you. But I want to tell you something. I believe when we love people, we ought to serve them the way that God has served us. And I believe that we should love people the way that God loves us, and that's unconditional. Is it easy? Y'all, you missed a really good chance right there. Is it easy? No. But is it beneficial? Yes. Because even if it's not about them, look past that person into the satisfaction of knowing that you please your Father. But the side benefit is you will reap what you sow, right? And I want to tell you something. We had people say, oh, that's fake. Y'all faking it, y'all whatever. Last year, we were on an airplane together, and the stewardess, hey, is this the truth? The stewardess came up and said, y'all are on your honeymoon, aren't you? I can always tell honeymoon couples. I said, girl, 41 years. And she's like, I was like, yeah, you know. He was 10 and I was 8, you know. We just made a joke out of it, but that happens. But I want to tell you, all those people who mocked us didn't stay married. I can go one to one and show you. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not saying that because I'm proud. I'm saying that because you have to get over you to get to Jesus. And if you want to invest in something, you're going to have to get past somebody else's ugly, because we're forgetting what we should be remembering, and we're remembering what we should be forgetting. So Peter's coming back in here and he's saying, hey, there's going to be mockers, there's going to be scoffers, but here's the good news. If people are mocking you and, I don't even want to hear that stuff, you know, that's not real, you can say, yes, it is. Because in 2 Peter 3, verses 4 and 5, he said there was going to be people just like you. You have just proven the Bible to be true. No, don't do that. But I'm just saying, they're fulfilling the word when they mock you. And I want to tell you something. Somebody can't stop you from loving Jesus. But if all it takes is a look or a, you know, well, I can't do this because if I talk about Jesus, whatever. Listen, if I'm working at Sam's and they tell me I can't wear my little cross pin, honey, I'm going to put me on some cross earrings, all right? They tell me I can't say Jesus. I said I'd never do it, but I'm telling you, I'm about ready to get me a tattoo across my head. I didn't say a word. Do you know what I mean? Do you know Jesus? He loves you. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying there's ways around to show who you are. But if you're worried about losing somebody's friendship, they don't love you. And we've already studied this, and I'm sincere about this, because the world right now is bent on hatred, and they're making it look like they're good causes, so you can hate somebody, because this is a good cause. Hatred is never justified in the Bible. Now, the only one I've ever found, I've told you, is when David said to the enemy, I hate the enemy with the perfect hatred. Other than that, you got to love. Okay? So we come in here. Now, would you read verses 5 through 7?
But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through 7. So here's the thing. You want to talk about mockers and scoffers? He's bringing you back to Noah and saying, here's a man who gets a word from the Lord to build an ark. There ain't no wheels on the ark. Okay? There's not enough horses and cattle that can pull this big thing that he's building. And people are mocking him because he says it's going to rain, and they don't even know what rain is. The moisture has never come from the sky. There's dew on the ground in the morning. It's come up. There's humidity in the air, but they don't even know. So when he's saying it's going to rain, I don't even know that that was a term he said, but what he said is water's going to fall from the sky, and it's going to flood us. How did he even know a boat would float? Right? That big. There weren't cruise ships back then. You saw the little fisher boats, but there wasn't anything that massive. And so they're mocking him. Hey, that's that crazy old man, you know, 100 years. Listen, we quit believing. We quit believing because it's easy. And it's easier to be mad at God than to be mad at the devil. Well, God was God. He said he wouldn't give me morning bear. I don't know why God's withholding that from me. It's because you don't know the goodness of God. You don't believe the word, because the word's complete. It's perfect. It is lacks nothing. It is eternal, and it's non-negotiable. You either believe it or not. We said at the beginning of this message, if you knew somebody's character and they were going to be late, you wouldn't question it because you knew that person's character. And yet we're willing to question God when something doesn't go our way because our emotions got hurt. Okay, here's your side note. I've already picked on marriage once, and we'll pick on it a little bit more. We don't need to walk in emotional baggage. We don't need to walk in emotional hatred. But sometimes we forgive people. You can forgive them, but you're still emotionally hurt, and the enemy tells you, you didn't forgive them. You didn't forgive them. You're still mad when you think about that. I want to tell you something. Sometimes when you forgive, you need to wait on God to heal your emotions because you did forgive them. And you have been forgiven. And just let the Lord heal your emotions so you can get over you to get to Jesus. Thank you. We're listening. So here's Noah. He's been mocked. Here's what rain. What is rain? What you haven't seen before is hard to believe. If you've been abused all your life and somebody comes and says, I'm going to love you, I'm going to treat you, it's hard to believe that if you've never seen it. Okay? But I want to tell you something. I have faith to believe the incredible because I have seen the impossible. There's nobody in this room, I don't think, who hadn't seen the impossible. Anybody doubt it? Let me just ask you, do you ever watch a bee fly? Bzzz. That is aerodynamically impossible, and they fly. Yeah. You talk about those little pigeons, those little homing pigeons that Steve Troyer talks about running, and how even through the wars, they were getting word through to people behind enemy lines and stuff. Let me tell you, that doesn't seem possible. Did you remember him telling about that little one that they let off in South Texas and the wind was blowing so hard they thought it's lost, it'll never happen, and the little thing came back home? It took him 5 extra days or whatever it was, his testimony, but he came home. Because people said, we've never seen it, it can't happen. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it can't happen. But you have seen the impossible. And if you go to this church, you've seen the impossible, and I know it. Because how many people in this room, stand up, Dean Myers, have been told that something's going to happen to them, and God did something different, and it changed. Amen? Oh, man. You know, this ark, I haven't seen an ark. Noah had never seen a rainbow either, but God put one in the sky because he wanted him to know this isn't going to happen this way again. And then we come in here, and some of you tonight, just right now, everybody close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Okay. I would like for you right now to visualize Noah's ark. Can you do that? Shake your head yes or no. Can you see an ark? Can you see Noah's ark? All right. Right now, can you see a rainbow? Can you see a rainbow? Okay. Nobody's not seeing it. All right. Now, can you see a steaming cup of hot chocolate? Can you see that? Okay. You can open your eyes. See, you're seeing things because you have a reference to it. How many of you in this room have ever physically seen Noah's Ark? Raise your hand. Don't lie. Because nobody has. All right? Now, they think they found something from Mount Ararat or whatever, but none of us have seen it. But I said, can you see Noah's Ark? And you all said yes. You know why you said yes? Because you had a Sunday school lesson. You had a flannel board. You had a picture in a Bible. You had a reference point where you didn't need faith, you've seen it, but you never saw that. Now, many of you may have seen a rainbow, but why did it recall like that? Because somewhere in your memory, you've seen a picture. Somewhere in your memory, you're going to recall the Word of God, and you're going to actually see yourself, not sitting in a doctor's office, but standing in a service with your hands lifted and tears coming down, saying, God is my healer, and this will not stop me. Thank you. And let me just tell you, I don't see a steaming cup of hot chocolate. All you got to do is go through these doors after service, and it's going to be in there, and it's going to manifest. Just saying, if you want to do it, there it is. I'm helping you out. So Romans 8:25 says, if we hope for that which we don't see, then do we with patience wait for it. So if I'm not seeing it, isn't it easier just to get mad and disappointed and quit believing than to say, I will not quit believing. I'm going to go past my disappointment. I'm going to keep believing God. It's easier to give up and get mad at God than to fight the devil. And when we fight the devil, I don't mean I'm going out here and doing something to win the battle. I'm telling you, the battle is already won, and I just have to get in agreement with what God has said instead of what my crazy flesh mind is telling me. And sometimes we have to have somebody else believe for us when we're weak, but that is the right and privilege of the body of Christ, and that's what Peter's already told him in letter one, stick together, you sheep don't scatter. And then he's telling them now there's going to be persecution, but guess what? You're going to make it, and you're going to be just fine. Don't lose sight of Jesus. Now, where do you remember Peter hearing, remember? The hint is on that table over there. Where did Peter hear that? When Jesus said to them, "This do in remembrance of me." I cannot be saved by what I do. Jesus has already done it. But he wants us to get in agreement with what we believe and act on his word and remember him by something as simple as taking communion. And it's no longer simple because we're now understanding that it is a real thing. And when the enemy comes to me and says, "This is going to happen to you," I can put my faith in agreement with the word, and I don't have to wait for the first Sunday of every month. I can take communion in my home. I can tell you, I can take communion on behalf of you. I've done it. Lord, they're just weak right now. I'm going to take this in right now. God, I'm just trusting you. Lord, I'm believing for you. Y'all, I got a picture board in my office that has smudge prints on it from where I'm praying over some of you. You need to get me your picture, okay? Because sometimes my weakness is in my faith, but I don't have to see it to believe it. But I believe I will see it. I believe I will see the victory. And I can't make other people's choices, but I'm going to make the choice for me. And I choose to believe, regardless of the scoffers, regardless of the mockers. Noah, don't you think that he was really saying, "How's this going to work anyway?" I mean, he didn't have a physicist or an architect. He just had to strictly go by the Word of God. The spoken word of God. But guess what happened? All the water, all these bodies of water, all these reservoirs, the canopies, the hell back water, everything flooded the earth. How many days did it rain? How many years did they wander in the desert? 40. There's a theme there, isn't there? And there's more 40s in the Bible. 40 days, 40 nights. Listen, I want to tell you something. Noah came in there. Just because you don't know what something is doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Just because you don't know how it's going to happen, that's your flesh telling you you need the fine-tuned details. And I want to tell you, Samson didn't have the fine-tuned details. And Samson believed that he had blew it. They've poked his eyes out. Now he's blind, and he's turning a grindstone to mill the corn and stuff, and they're mocking him and throwing, "Yeah, here's the one who believed in God." But guess what? He had enough strength and courage to stand back up and say, "God, help me. God, help me. Help me to complete what you've said," and he did. There's Peter who denied him, and Jesus told him, "You're going to do this." Peter, who's writing this letter trying to save us, his disappointment, he's coming in and he's saying, "Oh man, don't blow it like I did." But after he blew it, did he get a refusal? Nope, he got breakfast, served by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And some of us are so sure that we've blown it, we can't go back and ask. Noah asked. He didn't just send one bird out. But when he got the right bird and he got the olive branch, he knew there was life again. Now, this may make no sense to anybody else, but I want to tell you, there's nobody who knows the weather but God. Now, this is in my thinking, this is when the ice age thawed out. That's just me, okay? But I want to tell you something. This year, every weather report, and you all know I love the weather, all of them for the average temperature has said that we're going to be above average. But the Farmer's Almanac said we're going to have a very cold, surprisingly cold, bitter winter. But the Weather Channel kept saying, no, it's going to be above average this month. Every month it said above average. And every month it's been proved wrong the last 2 months. Now I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter how many instruments, it doesn't have any smart people, it doesn't matter how famous they are. We need to know the Word of God and remember what He said about your life and trust Him because He can be trusted. He's proven who He is. We know His character. But God comes in, everybody says, well, history always repeats itself. You know, you got these people saying, well, America's going to be done for because no democracy in history has ever lasted this long. I'm going to tell you something. History's not going to repeat itself. There's never going to be another flood to wipe out the earth because God said it. I don't care how many glaciers are melting. I don't care how much water's taking over the land. It's never going to happen again because God said it. I want to tell you, history's not going to repeat itself. There's never going to be another Savior come down here and take the guilt, shame, and condemnation of your sin and all disease away. It's already happened. It is not going to happen again. But there is going to be something that's going to happen that's never happened before that is going to happen, and we're going to read about that next.
But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Okay. So, was that through verse 9?
Yeah.
Okay. What's going to happen? He's coming in. He's going to let them know, and we're going to finish this next week. But here's what's happening. He's coming in, and He's letting them know that when God says something, you don't need to worry about the time frame because your timing isn't God's timing. Okay? Light travels very fast. I think it's like 1,860 miles a second or something like that. It's really wild. I don't know. You're all starting to Google now. I can see it. But just let it go. Stay focused on the Word. But your words, sound, takes a long time. Okay? So when you hear a sonic boom, that actually happened several seconds. But the sound takes longer. Light boom. You put a laser up there in the airplane, they see it. But the sound, ba-boom. Have you ever done that with lightning and thunder and you can't, because it takes longer. Sometimes the Word takes longer to be performed than the light. Are you with me? Who is He? He's the light of the world. Things are going to happen when He says they're going to happen, and they could happen really quick. But it's up to Him and not us. So He's coming in and He's saying, a day is as 1,000 years, help me out, and 1,000 years is as a day. But sometimes things happen when we get in agreement with God and say, I can't accomplish everything. I'm going to need a little help from you. I'm doing what's possible, but I need you to do the impossible. Case in point, we've already talked tonight about Noah, he didn't do everything right. We talked about Peter, he didn't do everything right. We talked about Samson, he didn't do everything right. Now we're going to talk about Joshua. God did not call Joshua because he was perfect. He called him because he knew when he failed, he'd seek his face. So yes, here's Joshua. You remember, we studied this already. And we're going to go, after we finish 2 Peter, we're going to go right back to Genesis this time, and we're going to just go, I think we're just going to go straight through the Bible this time. So I'll probably be 80 years old when we finish, but You're not going to be able to say you didn't know the whole word. When you get to heaven, you will not stand before the Father and say, I was not taught at Christian Center. He's going to go, oh, rewind it and go, nope, that's not true. You're going to get the whole word, okay? But here is Joshua. Do you remember what happened with the Gibeonites? They fooled him. They put on the old clothes. Remember, they brought the old bread, and they said, oh, make a peace pact with us. We've sought you. And so instead of consulting the Lord, he just said, okay, we'll make this pact. We'll protect you and we'll whatever. And then they're like, oh, well, we're the Gibeonites. And by the way, you know, the Philistines, everybody's coming after us. You're going to have to protect us now because you got in a pact with us. Did God say, oh, good luck with that. You're on your own, smarty pants. No, what God did is God gave him the way and he told him how he was going to help him, and he sent him into the battle, and he said, you're going to honor your word, and I'm going to help you. And so Josh was in the middle of it, and he's like, God, we can't wipe them all out. Darkness is coming. We can't see the enemy. He cries out, and what happened to that day? What happened to that day? It got longer. The sun stood still. And I want to tell you something. If you're running out of time, you call on the Lord. And he'll move those situations and give you the time you need. So, boy, now I'm thinking, well, what year is this? Because, you know, I know it's time, but I don't know the time. Okay? If a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day, just follow me with this thinking. Jesus is only going to be gone 2 days, and what day was it he rose? Now, y'all need to talk loud, because when those people listen on the internet, it sounds so much better when you answer me. And you sound so intelligent, and you are, and you're nodding your head, but let's try it again. There was 2 days, and then what day did he rise?
Third day.
See, there are people here, the third day. So then we got to Hosea 6. You don't have to go there. I've got it marked. Hosea 6, I'm just going to read verse 1 and 2 to you. Come, let us return to the Lord. This is the Jewish people talking. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. So, yeah. So he's already telling them, hey, line up what you know with what the prophets of old have said, what's already come to pass. Line it up with what we're telling you. There's more to come. So what happened was that Israel turned away from God. They decided they didn't need him because they wanted to be popular. They wanted to be with, you know, they wanted to get the most hits on their likes button. They wanted, you know, to be on the Ellen DeGeneres show. They wanted to come in there and really make a statement, you know, on Stephen Colbert and get to put down God and mock him and all the things. So, you know, everybody would approve them. That's where they were. They wanted to go into those places and please. And let me just say this to you. When people don't believe that God is the creator, what you're really saying is that you're formed from an animal so you can live like an animal and party like an animal. And I want to tell you something. You aren't created from animals. God gave us dominion over the animals, and he's given us through the power of the Holy Spirit dominion over that part of our flesh that wants to destroy us. And boy, he comes in here, and he says to them, he says, now you're going to do without. I'm going to scatter you all over. And they scattered out of fear, and there was no nation. After he's done all these marvelous things, now there's no nation. So for 2,000 years, follow with me, 2,000 years Israel goes, and everybody thinks, well, that's it. There can't be another nation. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it can't happen. And in the year 1948, Israel is reestablished as a nation. Okay, then in 1967, there's the Six-Day War. These numbers are important. There's a Six-Day War and then they won, and then they got to put their capital back and be established in Jerusalem. So here's the thing. There are all these Bible scholars, and they've gone back, and they've tried to study about man, and they've done it really chronologically through the Bible. Genealogists and stuff have followed these genealogies, and they believe, and this is a consensus, I forgot the man's name who was the first one, but this is the general consensus, that man has been on the earth, that he was there 4,004 years before Jesus Christ, okay? That's when it happened. According to genealogies, 4,004 years. Now, what year is this? 2018. So 2018 and 4,004, I'm kind of thinking we're in the what thousand year? 6,000. So how many days did it take God to create the earth? Six. And on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And what does he say in Deuteronomy that after 6 years of working the soil, on the seventh year, you should rest the soil? And then we know from Deuteronomy 15 that when someone is a slave and they've served for 6 years, the seventh year they are set free. And they had the six-day war after he said in 2 days, which if 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years, and 2,000 years later, they're being reestablished, set free. Listen, don't try to get your calendar out and say, oh, dear Lord, Jesus is coming next week. Sister Gay said, I'm telling you, I know it's time, but I don't know the time. I'm telling you, over your life today, it's time to say, God, I'm going to begin to trust you again, regardless of what I see, because it's time, but I don't know your time. But I know this, the world is getting darker, and it's time for us to believe what we say and not be mad at God because it doesn't happen in our time schedule. I'm just saying that things are aligned. You know what's going to happen January 31st? A blue moon that is actually a blood moon. Gay said, January 31st. That's not what I said. I said things have happened that the word that Peter's telling you, the prophets have told you things, you're going to see it. The disciples have told you things that we're living that actually happened. You need an agreement that 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years, because when the light shows up, it doesn't need your permission. But the darkness will yield to the light. And according to Isaiah 61, if I'm going to believe the prophets, you and I are called to set the captives free, not be on the chain gang of the devil. And we need to start setting each other free by speaking life over one another and saying, hey, listen, I'm not saying this is easy. I don't go in hospitals. Many of you know this. I don't go in a hospital and say, where's your faith? You need to believe. What I say is we're going to meet at the point of contact, and we just begin to pray the word. I'm not praying what I know. I'm praying the word of God over you, because it is alive. When I speak the word of God, there is a spirit that pierces the darkness over disease. There is a spirit that pierces the darkness over despair. There is a spirit of the living God that raises up inside of us and said, you know what? I don't know the exact time, but I know it's time. And some of you had to go through treatments to get your healing. And some of you, bam, we went back and there was nothing there. Y'all all seen June's x-rays. Dear Jesus, if you hadn't seen it, you better run from her. She's going to show you, right? Because we're excited about what God's doing. And some of us are like, why didn't it happen this way? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because God wanted you to have a testimony. Because if you say it was there and it wasn't, your family's stubborn. They ain't going to believe. And June's wasn't. I don't know. I don't know the time, but I know it's time, and I know the time's getting close. But I trust him that he's going to be there, that he's not forgotten about us, that he's not going to move away, that he's not disappointed in us. It's close, and I don't know the time, but he will get here when he gets here, because he's good for his word. Amen? He's good for his word. We know this. And don't think that he's just good for his word for other people. He's good for you. He's good for you. And when you get it in you that he's good for you, that he's never going to leave you, he's never going to forsake you, when you get it in it that he's good for you, then you're going to start believing for other people. Don't get frustrated with them. Just keep believing for them. Well, I don't know. I hadn't seen that happen. I have. I've seen God hem people in. That seems kind of mean. No, it doesn't. Not if you believe it's time and that people are going to be lost, because what he's saying and what he's coming back with and what we're going to continue to finish up with next week is this world is going out by fire. It's going to be destroyed by fire. You never saw it before, but it's going to happen. And it's only going to happen once. And everything he has said in this book has come to pass. Oh, Gay, what are you saying? I'm saying he's God and I'm not. And let's get ready and quit playing these games, building a nest here on earth. Look, maybe I'm just old, but I'm sick of nesting. I want to get rid of this stuff. I want to trust God. Yeah, I'm looking ahead. I want to get this church ready for the next generation. I don't want those kids up there dealing with the junk we deal with. I want to give them a spot-on ready church, the same way that somebody gave us a paid-off building. I want to be accountable to do. I'm going to occupy until he comes. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to serve him. And I'm not going to wait on myself and be self-serving. Okay, that sounded a little mean. You get in there and brush your teeth, and when you get through, I'm going to look and I'm going to smell your breath. Get in here. Little Mackenzie Marie, she was over at the house. You know, they came for a week. She comes in every night. When she's done, she go, ah. I said, you really did it. You really did it. Grayson comes in and go, he had a little dab. And I said, Grayson, that's just toothpaste. You did not brush your teeth. How do you know that, honey? Yeah. Because you can fool each other, but we're not going to fool God. Guys, he's not telling you that because he's mean. He's telling you that because he wants you to succeed. He wants to keep telling you. Gay, I've heard this message over and over. Look, I want to be the teacher who doesn't impress you, but I impress the Word of God on you. Because you will go through trials. And when it happens, you're going to remember, oh, well, let's see, I'm a failure. Peter was a failure. Oh, Samson was a failure. Oh, David was a failure. Oh, there's hope for me. And when hope deferred, your heart gets sick. And that's the Word of God, too. I got to know my spiritual condition. Listen, we're forgetting the things we need to remember that he's faithful, and we're remembering the things we need to forget about what other people did to us and what the world sang. Forget that. Put your effort into God. And this is my last word for you tonight, and I gave it to the staff today, and I feel led to give it to you. We're going to talk about tithe. Stay with me. I want to talk to you about tithing your time. Tithing your time and not just your money, because time is, yeah, I want to talk to you about tithing your time. Are we trusting for the victory, or are we worried about the victory? See, in my mind, the God factor has to work through all my fears and doubts before I can get to trust. Anybody else like that? Come on, help me out. Yeah. Well, he's speaking to me to start tithing the first thought. Give me the first thought. Give me the first benefit. Because you know, I may seem late, but if I'm late, there's a good reason. Because you can trust me. And we're going to stop with this timetable. And did you notice that this little graphic has no hands on it? Because I want you to get your hands off God's timing in your life. I'm speaking to me. I want you to hear this. I don't serve you anything I don't eat first. Get your hands off God's timetable. You know where my hands need to be? Thank you. I need to be trusting and praising. I need to be loving and serving and doing. And I do tell the devil this. I'm hurt. I get hurt. I get disappointed. But I'll tell him, you're going to rue the day you ever did that to me. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start loving on some people. Because I'm sure somebody else is hurting too. Thanks for reminding me that we hurt and we need to be loved. So sometimes when I'm hurt, it'll send me right back to my knees, right back to the arms of the one who I can count on. And it changes me, Rick. I can't change any of you, but I can change me. And what does that do except prove growth and maturity? Because something from the inside is manifest on the outside. Tithe your time to Him. Let the first thought not be, what can I do? What has He done? Not even what's He doing now. What has He already done for me? Give Him that first thought. And I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's in the Message. And this I shared with the staff also today in our staff meeting. And it says, with all that's going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. 1 Corinthians 15:58 in the Message. So you know what? This can just be so simple. God will just say to you, hey, text them. Just send them a text today and tell them you love them. Just send them a text. Have any of you ever gotten a text and it meant the difference in your day? Lift your hand. Yeah. Don't withhold good when it's in your power to do it. Give that, act on that thought of obedience. Because listen, you're not going to sow faithfulness and not reap it back. What I always tell you, you take care of God's business. You are so smart. Thank you. And then here's the thing. You know, in construction work, they have this thing called a level. It has this little bubble in the middle, right? And boy, before they finish something, they make sure it's on the level, whether they put it this way or this way or this way. Am I telling the truth? Right? They want to do it. So I want to talk to you about the thing that's going to keep your bubble level when you want to check your heart. You want to check your heart and your thoughts and in your action for what you're about to do? Line it up with God's Word. What God says about you, not what somebody else says. I don't care if they're your spouse. I don't care if they're your employer. I don't care if it's, you know, whoever. I don't care. What does it say with God's Word? If I need to impress somebody, where does that line up with God's Word? To get their love, where does that line up? And if I give Him the first thought, if I tie that fear, I'm going to stay on the level. And I'm not going to have this wobbledy walk. But sometimes we need each other to keep us on the level. That's why you come to church. That's why you are the church. Because you're taking what's in here and we're going back and we're sharing it, not with judgment, but with love. Noah didn't have to judge the people who were mocking them because he was leveling it up with God's Word. Okay? So I just want to encourage you tonight. God is for you and not against you. And He's given you this Word, and Peter's giving it to us as a reminder. And if you can't count how many times you've told your kids to brush their teeth, and if you can't count how many times you said, be careful out there when you're on the road, and if you can't count how many times you've said, did you do your homework? Then let's not hold it against God when He keeps saying, trust me. I'm going to help you. Trust Him, and let's remember that the work is already completed. Amen? I want you to stand with me tonight. Lord, we just thank You for Your Word tonight. God, I pray that the Word, God, that deep, Lord, that you would implant, God, us in the roots of your word, God, that when the floods come, God, Lord, that we will not be uprooted, that God, when the storm comes, we will still be receiving life from you. God, I'm praying for this dark world. God, I'm praying right now for people who are mocking us, that they will be saved. I'm praying right now, God, for people, Lord, who are blinded with hatred and they believe it's justified. God, I'm praying right now, God, that you will move on our nation, God, by loving us so we can return back to what love is. It's you. And we need you tonight, God. I'm praying for everyone, God. Everyone in this room, Lord. Let the turmoil be lost in the words of your love letters. And let us know, Father, that you even now are preparing a place for us to be with you. And we receive that love tonight, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know the time, but I know he's coming. Amen. Now we're going to